May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is John 14, verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." You may be seated. Dear saints, let not your hearts be troubled. I suppose these particular words of Jesus may have differing personal significance for each person depending on what they're going through at a given moment in their lives. If you have recently lost a job, let not your hearts be troubled. If you have been recently given some bad medical news, let not your hearts be troubled. If a relationship is suddenly or inexplicably broken, let not your hearts be troubled. If the mental health of a parent is failing in some way, let not your hearts be troubled. If a loved one dies, let not your hearts be troubled. As we deal with the stresses of our daily lives, with the stresses of this pandemic, all the changes that have come about, the confusion, the growing tension we feel between safety and freedom, let not your hearts be troubled. These words are a comfort, and we should reflect on them in those moments in our lives that appear to be darkest to us. But the impact of these words extends far beyond some momentary comfort that they may bring during a particular struggle. Jesus says them to his disciples more than once. Just a few verses later in verse 27 of chapter 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." There's a lot going on in the context of these verses in the lives of the disciples and in our own lives, and a lot of these ways that these comforting words can impact us. So this morning, I want to consider three ways in which these words would have had a particular meaning for the disciples who first heard them, and by extension, what they mean for us. The first thing to consider is the discussion Jesus is having with his disciples in the gospel lesson. Jesus speaks these words in the midst of what's a rather lengthy discussion and then finally monologue here in John's gospel, just before heading out to the Garden of Gethsemane. The immediate context is that Jesus had told his disciples that he was departing, that he is leaving them, that he goes to prepare a place for them and that they will follow, but he would no longer be with them in the way he currently was. And while Jesus assures them that they will follow where he is going, they claim to neither know where he is going nor how to get there. They're anxious. To a certain degree, they think they've got Jesus all figured out, but he keeps throwing these curveballs at them. And in less than a day, their hopes in Jesus' messiahship would be shattered. Jesus will be arrested, tried and convicted, beaten and mocked, crucified and buried. That is where he is going. He goes to the cross to defeat sin for them, to defeat it for us. And once sin is defeated, heaven is unlocked. The doors to the mansions and the house of the Father are flung open. And on the third day, the first of many tombs would be emptied. Jesus' tomb first, and ultimately yours and mine. For the disciples to experience all of that, and for us to travel on our journey, for us to go where Jesus went through death and into eternal life, that is a vexing and anxiety-filled journey, to be sure. And the way to those heavenly mansions? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to the Father but through him. Let not your hearts be troubled. The second context in which to consider Jesus' words of assurance, We see in the other two readings from this morning, our first lesson and epistle lesson. In our first lesson from Acts, we learn that very quickly after Jesus' ascension, Jesus' own followers will begin to undergo the same persecution that Jesus faced. In Acts, we hear of Stephen. Now, Stephen is preaching. He's proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the crucified and risen one, that those to whom he is speaking are guilty of Jesus' death, as of course we all are. And Stephen pays dearly for those words. He pays with his life. Those who are listening reject Stephen's message, and they reject the messenger. They reject Stephen. And this would be the pattern of discipleship throughout the early church for centuries until the legalization of Christianity in Rome. And it is still the pattern for many throughout the world today. To confess the name of Jesus, to claim that Jesus is God, to say that he is the only way to gain access to God, that confession still causes persecution, and it can even cause death. Satan uses the things of this world and uses the evil of this world in an attempt to silence the word of God. Let not your hearts be troubled. Peter reminds us in our epistle reading that Jesus himself was rejected. The one who came to the Jews, the builders of God's people, he was rejected by the very ones he was promised to redeem. And yet the one who the world killed, the stone that the builders rejected, rose from the dead and is now the cornerstone of the church. Us, God's holy people. And we are living stones within that church, built upon Jesus, built upon the foundation of God's word. And though Satan rages against Christ's bride, the church, and even as the hymnist writes, though with a scornful wonder the world sees her oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, the world cannot ultimately overcome the church. It simply will not prevail against it. It won't happen. No matter what appears to be going on in the world, no matter what we're enduring, the victory is already ours. Because as St. Peter tells us, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let not your hearts be troubled. The third point to consider stems from the words Jesus says immediately before the words for our text this morning, the end of John chapter 13. At the end of John 13, Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him three times, very shortly, before the rooster crows. Listen to the end of John 13, read together with the beginning of John 14. Jesus answered Peter, "Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Effectively, Jesus is telling Peter, you're about to commit the most atrocious sin you could possibly conceive of. It's one that you thought you would never do, but let not your heart be troubled. Each of us sin. We sin against God daily in small ways, in big ways, in thought, in word, in deed. None of us can free ourselves from those sinful desires, those sinful lusts, that covetousness that we harbor. None of us ever fully reject those idols that we have, those things that we trust in more than God. None of us is fully free from the fear that this world heaps upon us. None of us is free from the temptations of Satan. And so Jesus says to us, let not your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Your sin is forgiven. Let not your hearts be troubled, for the wages of sin, namely death, is defeated. Let not your hearts be troubled. God has called you by name in your baptisms. You are his. Let not your hearts be troubled, for death is not the end. Let not your hearts be troubled, for in the Father's house are many rooms, and Jesus goes to prepare a place for you. And if he goes to prepare a place for you, he will come again and take you to himself, that where he is, you may be also. Let not your hearts be troubled. Instead, partake of the comfort food of this holy supper. Take and eat his body. Take and drink his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Peter denied his Lord, said he never knew him, and was forgiven. You and I have denied our Lord, and our sin is forgiven. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in his Son. In this world, we will have tribulation. We will continue to experience the world's brokenness in natural disaster, accidents, sickness. We will continue to experience persecution against the church, both from outside of the church and sadly from within her as well. We will continue to experience the guilt and shame of our own sin. But take heart, for Christ has overcome this world. God is in control. He still forgives your sin for Jesus' sake. Our Lord has gone through death into life before us, and where he goes, he will prepare a place for you, and he will come again to take you to himself. Let not your hearts be troubled, for Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, amen.